Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Coco and Dalts. I'm not Dalts.
I'm not Coco.
And if you're new here, which judging by our download numbers, you probably are.
There's a good chance.
We are offering you the latest reviews of all the streaming movies and TV shows on Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Disney Plus. We also review books and music. We're a one-stop pop culture shop.
We know it all.
So get your real reviews from real people right here.
And this week.
And this week, we're reviewing the latest Netflix original movie, Dangerous Lies.
Although if it had been playing in Times Square during the porno days, it would be Dangerous Thighs.
Okay.
So Dangerous Lies, the real movie that we're going to talk about today in this episode of the podcast, is a Netflix original. And the story is a young couple, and they're going through some trying times.
They've got some money problems.
They've got some money issues, and they're in Chicago that looks alarmingly like Vancouver, British Columbia. And they're really trying to pay the dues, and there's student loan crunch, and there's social worker low payment angst going on there. And then all of a sudden, the two characters, one is Adam, who is the male character of this deal, and he is played by Jesse T. Usher, mm-hmm. not to be confused with just Usher.
Yeah.
And Camila Mendez is the girl who is played by Katie. So Katie is a social worker, and she's looking after this old guy.
Mm-hmm.
The old guy is
Elliot Gould,
who is Gold. Elliot Gould,
yeah,
because he's always good in everything he does. Plays an 87-year-old guy. He dies, leaves everything to this woman, to Katie.
Because she's his caretaker.
She's his caretaker. He's an only child. His parents have died. He never married, beyond all that sort of stuff. So nefarious things happen thereafter. You think it's just a simple, oh, I inherited a massive house in suburban Chicago, sort of Vancouver, and yet it's not that simple. Do you want to add on to that at all, Coco?
Do you want me to describe more of the plot or just my feedback?
Whatever you feel like doing. Do you think I left any holes there? I didn't want to give story away.
That was pretty much, that was a pretty good summary.
Okay.
I'll give that to you.
You're the summary queen, so I'm just trying to reach that high bar.
But you're the one who actually did the research before we started recording, so I figured that would be maybe a good thing for you to do today.
Well, I wanted to, you know, get some stuff done while you were uncorking your wine. And
that is true. And if you haven't heard our review of the Netflix original movie Uncorked, you can find it in our podcast feed. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Music, Pandora, and YouTube, and soon to come to SoundCloud. So keep your eyes peeled on that.
Full of the throws today.
You're
throwing
totally
everywhere.
I'm trying not to. So I don't want people to get bored though. So yeah. So I'd say Dalton.
Too late.
I'd say Dalton did a pretty good job on the review. Like,
well,
yeah,
thank you.
Stuff. Some bad stuff happened after Katie inherited the house, and a cop played by Sasha Alexander showed up, and she's
dubious.
She's very dubious. She feels like foul play was involved. She thinks that basically they killed the guy to inherit. Like, they strong-armed him.
Yeah,
into signing fraudulent will documents.
Right.
And then
a lawyer shows up sort of in the middle of this, and played by Jamie Chung, I believe. We're not sure. See, that the whole idea of this whole movie is like, who do you trust?
Right.
Because
you never know who's on the up and up.
Jesse T. Usher, or Jusser, as I almost call him.
Jusser.
he is a little bit more adamant. Maybe that's why they called him Adam
in
the movie. About, like, let's just ride this gravy train until the end.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of being a poor guy. And meanwhile, Katie is like, no, we have to do the right thing. Let's put the money back.
Yeah, so right after Elliot Gould dies, they randomly discover $100,000 stashed in a trunk in the attic. And while they're waiting on, like, the coroner to get there to remove the body from the house, because they discovered it one morning when they got there, they're like, we should just take the money. And she's like, well, okay, but we have to be careful. But they don't take the money right then. They actually come back later and take it, which makes no sense whatsoever. I didn't figure.
Why wouldn't you take it before the cops come? So yeah. I wanted to add on to that too, is like, there was a scene there where they discover Elliot Gould sitting in the chair, and then they sort of wandering around and like, what should we do? It's like, I don't know, call 911 maybe.
Yeah, I was.
Well, there's a dead guy in the house. What do we do? There's no precedent here.
Right. Like, I mean, I understand because she brought his food to him and then she took his pulse and realized, you know, he was not coming back.
Right. He wasn't eating his breakfast.
Right. And she was sad and she called her husband and he came up and he comforted her. But then they just sat there and they just chatted for like an hour. And then
they went down on the porch, didn't they, after a while? And...
Yeah. So it was just very... So let's get into what we thought of the movie. Dolls, what did you think of the movie?
Well, I thought it was terrible.
Unvarnished reviews right here, people.
This is where you come for the truth, people.
Yeah.
I was not a big fan of it. And having... So we like to try to watch these movies without having read any reviews whatsoever beforehand. We don't want to be clouded by other people's opinions because that can happen.
Right.
Even though we're professionals at this and we've been doing this a long, long time. We still want it to be authentic and genuine in our own opinions. So I didn't really read a lot about this, but having now seen it and then gone back and read it, the reviews and also some of the Twitter comments and stuff like that, people just hated this movie.
Oh, really?
People were hating all over it. And it was
number one. Yeah, it's totally been trending for like the week and a half since it got released.
When we watched it, it was top three, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was really high up there.
When one of the reviews that I read, it was actually number one. So it's been trending pretty high. I don't know why. I mean, it's a really great idea. The acting is okay. Like, there's not really wooden... I mean, the acting's uneven. Let's put it that way. Some of the actors are really good. Some of the... But there's a lot of stereotypes in here that I wasn't comfortable with. There's a lot of expected storylines. Like, the guy who shows up who looks like he pretends... Spoiler alert. He pretends that he's a real estate agent, but he doesn't really look like a real estate agent. He looks like a bad guy. But he's dressed up nice and everything. He's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Who's going to sell the house? You know, hey. Meanwhile, like, 45 minutes later, he's got a gun in his hand and he's in the backyard. Like, I mean, who was surprised by that? So I really didn't. I like the idea of the movie. I like the concept. I like the fact that it was filmed in Vancouver. I don't know. I'm reaching. but it wasn't really, it didn't hold much for me because it just didn't seem like the sum of its parts. It seemed like it was, this could be a good idea because it could be twists and turns, but it felt manufactured and I don't know. What do you think, Coco?
It was, it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. I've said this before. I didn't get to the end of it and think like, oh my God, I wish I had that hour and 45 minutes of my life back. Like, it was fine. It held my attention throughout. Like, you did wonder who's trustworthy, who's not trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Like, Adam's character was definitely steered in the direction of, like, even the cops suspected him of having something to do with Elliot Gould dying. So,
There was also the part, like, he was involved in this thing at the very beginning of the movie where he comes in and saves... The diner is being robbed that his wife is working in. He comes in and saves the day by knocking the guy out with a frying pan. Kills him, apparently, right? Did he kill him? Or?
No, he did not kill him.
He went to jail. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy went to jail, and then the guy got shanked in jail, and then the guy died. So that was another reason to be suspicious, because apparently the guy who held up the diner worked at the college where Adam was going to night school, so the cop thought maybe there was some kind of connection there.
And I thought they were laying the foundation there. Yeah. There was a groundwork, a thread there, if I can mix my metaphors, and go all the way through the movie. But it actually had, spoiler alert, it actually had nothing to do with the case at the end, right? Like, the fact that he just randomly happened to hit a guy over the head with a frying pan when he was pulling up the diner had nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Right. And
but I guess it was setting us up to say, well, maybe this guy's a bad dude.
Right. Yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah. No. Sasha Alexander if she had had more to do with that part, like, I feel like she was wasted in that part because I enjoyed her on NCIS and Rizzoli and Isles. Like, she can do a lot more, but
she just
came in. She was like your stereotypical jaded, suspicious cop. But then at some point she decided that Katie had nothing to do with it. And she's like, I know it's all Adam. Let me know. And I'm like, well, how did you get to that conclusion? Where did that happen? Katie and Adam did a lot of boneheaded stuff. Like, there's randomly a body they discovered in the garage.
Right.
And instead of calling the police,
Yet again,
Adam took the body and he put it in his car and then he dumped it right. in like a dumpster in downtown Chicago right. where of course it's going to be discovered.
Right.
You know, it was just, there's a lot of really
like
boneheaded.
Take it from a place where nobody knows it's there and it's been right. there for a couple of years and nobody's discovered it, and then take it to someplace more obvious where people are going to, like a dumpster is looked at probably every day.
Right.
In the big city.
Yeah, totally. And I was like, if you, I understand, because there was a really high body count in this movie. Like, they were, people were dying.
Surprisingly, too.
Yeah, left and right. Like, that they fully admitted, like, oh, yeah, we hit that guy with a frying pan. Like, oh, yeah, we shot the guy who came into the house in the middle of the night who randomly right. shouldn't have been there, right. you know.
And what was he doing there?
Yeah, what was he doing there? I don't know. But, like, if you call the cops on this body, they're going to test this body and they're going to see that it's been there for, like, 3 years. Which is well before you had anything to do with that house. So you're going to be totally cleared
right.
of any involvement in that death. So why wouldn't you do that instead yeah. of haphazardly putting this body in the trunk of your car? And so now there's forensics freaking everywhere.
Dragged all the way from the yeah. garage into your car.
Right. And now you're dumping it in a dumpster right. where it's probably going to be discovered, where, you know what, you could even just leave it in the garage right. and it's never going to be noticed. So yeah. I don't.
I didn't think about that. I did think about the part about, why didn't they just call the cops? Because right. it had nothing to do with them. The guy right. was dead before they got there, like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, there were diamonds involved there. So I understand that they wanted to keep the diamonds that were associated mm-hmm. with the dead guy. But all you got to do is just take the diamonds.
Right, exactly.
And hide them somewhere. And don't say anything about the diamonds. Like, what was accompanying this dead man in your attic? Well, there were the diamonds, but you know, they're not relevant to this.
Right, totally. So I there was just a lot of really... And I understand part of that probably is like... they're very young and maybe they're not sophisticated criminal masterminds, but I feel like if you watched a few episodes of Law and Order, you should probably know some of this stuff.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
So,
or even just common sense.
Right.
Not that a lot of us have common sense around discovering dead bodies in
yeah,
the attic.
Yeah.
But still, you uh-huh. know, like you said, the guy's been there a long time. They had nothing to do with it. Why would they even,
right.
they're acting guilty through the whole movie.
Right.
And they're not guilty really at all.
Yeah, the second that body gets to the morgue, they're going to be like, yeah, this is not fresh.
Well, whatever's like, left of it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
The other thing that I questioned is, so Katie, like Dalt said previously, through the whole movie was just like, we should give the money back. You know, I don't want this house. This doesn't feel right.
She's the moral conscience of the movie.
But then at the very end of the movie, after perhaps she is on her own now, she's still in the house. Like, she didn't give the money back. She's still in the house. Like, the whole movie, she's been telling Adam, this is not right, this is not right. And now, she's still there.
Right.
And on the one hand, I understand why her character made that decision. Because if you tell the police, well, actually, as it turns out, Elliot Gould did not will this house to me. Like, I don't know anything about probate and inheritance law, but I'm pretty sure the house is going to get taken away from you. And perhaps the $100,000 is going to get taken away from you as well, because the $100,000 was found in the house. Mm-hmm. But even if you're allowed to keep the $100,000, which the cops know about, that doesn't go very far in a city like Chicago. And now you're a single, pregnant, on your own lady. So you need all the help you can get. So I understand why she made the decision to not tell the cops. Well, as it turns out, that will was fraudulent, mm-hmm. and to keep the house and to keep the money. But after a whole movie of her being like, this isn't right, we need to give this back,
she
didn't do that.
Which makes you think at the end of the movie is like, did she have something to do with it?
Oh.
Like, is she the mastermind? Like, I think yeah. that's the leap we're supposed to make from this movie.
Oh, okay.
Was she the mastermind behind all this? Because mm-hmm. there's the scene at the end with the sprinkler that I won't go into too much detail about, revealing... something that is a bounty. And I'm wondering if you're supposed to think, well, that was supposed to be there on purpose, or was it accidental, or...
Well, see, yeah, but I mean, she definitely... I mean, the lawyer admitted that the will was fraudulent, so she couldn't have been that...
You know the scene I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, 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 I know, but yeah. I mean, I just... I don't know.
Well, and here's the other factor, too. So you're a single mom in expensive Chicago / Vancouver, and you are living in this house that, oh, by the way, two people have died in. Wouldn't that just be a little bit too creepy?
More than that, because Elliot Gould died.
Oh, three.
And the dead guy in the attic, and then the real estate agent, and
four,
and the lawyer, and
five,
Adam.
And
the social worker
guy who came in the middle of the night randomly. So there's six people died in this house.
There's six dead bodies in a very short time span. So, like, get rid of the outlier, the guy who had been there for 3 years with the diamonds. Everybody else has died in this house within, like, a couple months tops, probably.
And violently, mainly. Right. I was even just... The reason I only counted those two is those are the ones that, to me, were the creepiest because they died... You know, Elliot Gould died in his sleep, and then the other guy was a criminal and died in the attic and was stuffed in the attic. So to me, that was like, ugh. But even worse, yes. Yeah. So six dead bodies in that house, in one house in Chicago.
Yeah. So that's some pretty bad
Are
juju.
Are you living there? Yeah, exactly.
That's really bad juju.
You're raising a kid there.
Like, I'm selling that house, and I'm moving into a loft downtown or something, you know?
Or far, far away. Right. Taking the money and going to Bermuda or something like that.
Right. Totally. So
shipping off.
So any other thoughts about Dangerous Lies, Daltz?
I think, so what would we give this one? We gave Uncorked two corks up.
Yeah.
We
gave Love, Wedding, Repeat. You gave it two corks down. I gave it one cork up, one cork down.
We gave Extraction two shell casings up.
Yeah.
So this one has got to be, well, it's got to be two nail coffins down. I mean.
I'll give it a half a nail.
No,
nail
you
coffin
will
up.
Not. Your taste is better than this.
I would, like I said, I was... It held my attention for the whole time. It's not like I was sitting there like you, like 10 minutes in, looking at my phone.
I do that anyway. You know that. Yeah. I'm checking facts on IMDb. I was like, that mailbox looked Canadian. I'm going to check it out and see if that actually is in Canada.
That is true. He does do that. I'll be like, is that Sasha Alexander? And he'll just pick up his phone and immediately go to IMDb. So that is true. Like I said, it was not the best thing I've ever seen in my life, but it was entertaining for the 90 minutes that we watched it. So I'll give it a half a shell casing up.
I would have rather watched an hour and a half of Leo DiCaprio putting laundry on his line.
Wow.
Than watch that.
Wow.
It was just not, it just did. It was just one impossible thing after another, one stupid move after another. Like, it just seemed to me like I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And then it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, it was setting something up and then it just went complete left turn. And you're ready to believe that Jesse was the bad guy. And then all of a sudden, let's get out of here, Katie, because, you know, the cops are coming. Like, he was all of a sudden a good guy. Like, just it was all these uncharacteristic changes.
You know what I liked also was when she came home from the lawyer or whatever and he had the diamonds and he was like, yeah, let's get out of here. I'm just going to go freshen up. And I'm like... Who does that? Like, you think the cops suspect you of probably multiple deaths, and you're gonna go like what? Change into like your fugitive outfit? Like,
his camo,
right? Like, get the diamonds and the cash are already in your backpack. Like, you know, just grab your gun.
Well, and especially like, what are you doing? Like, she shows up when he's packing like in a hurry. He's like all flustered. He's like, we gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here. Yeah. I'm gonna go freshen up.
Right. I'm like, who does that?
Who
like,
freshens up?
Yeah. So.
You don't freshen up when you're on the run from the law.
Right, exactly. Like when you think that...
When you're
know,
on the lam.
Right.
When the man is after you.
When you think you're about to be like perp walked out of your fraudulently inherited Chicago mansion.
By the way, we should mention... I don't think we mentioned all the way along, but Jesse's black. So like if you're on the run from the law in Chicago and you're black... You're not hanging around, man.
No, like, definitely. You're.
Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
You're going to GTFO if you're a person of color and the cops might
are
be
after
you. Right?
And you know that the cops are in that neighborhood like that.
Right,
if somebody
exactly.
is like, oh, you know, the neighborhood is probably 100% white or close to it.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's not take that down there. I went down the race line. I shouldn't have, but it was just another impossibility of this movie. It's just, it didn't seem realistic to me.
Right. And at first, when the movie first started, I was like, oh, an interracial leading couple. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. And then as the movie got further along, I'm like, I know why they cast a person of color as the leading man, because that adds even... That gives the cops even more reason to be suspicious of him because of racial profiling.
Right.
So,
and that was sort of what I was talking about off the top, where there were some stereotypes that I wasn't comfortable with. Like, Jesse was the guy who was like, I'm not doing this. I'm taking the money. Like, he was not the moral compass of the movie, whereas she was. And I, it seemed like to fall along a stereotypical line to me. It's like, mm-hmm. well, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case, you know.
Right.
But,
I mean,
yes.
Yeah, they could have flipped the races, and it could have been, like, a white or white-passing husband and a wife of color.
Yeah.
And they could have done that and kind of turned things on their
right.
head, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway. But.
So, long story short, long podcast short, don't watch it. Although Coco says watch maybe a bit of it.
I mean, like, okay. So if you want to let us know what you'd like to hear us review next, give us an email. You can reach us at cocoandalts@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Coco and Daltz or on Twitter at Coco and Daltz. You can also check out our website, soon to be revamped.
Yes.
cocoandalts.com.
So for another edition of the podcast.
Episode 59.
Episode 59, the big 6-0 coming up.
Yep.
I'm not Coco.
And I'm not Daltz.